Welcome everybody to Red's Ramblings. Today I have with me Ash from the Burton S podcast. On her show, she talks about ghost stories, cryptids, the weird shit. Everyone loves weird shit.
Yes.
So today, guess what we're going to talk about? You're right? So today, take a guess what we're going to talk about. Weird shit. We're going to talk about ghosts and whatnot. If you've watched my show a few times, I've mentioned ghost stories that have happened, mainly involving my wife and some friends and whatnot. So we're going to you're probably going to hear those again. And there have been a few new ones since I think I last spoke of some of the stuff that's happened at this house. But instead of just me rehashing the same story, Ash is going to tell us some stuff from her end that she's experienced as well. So Ash, go ahead and introduce yourself a little bit.
Awesome. So obviously, my name's Ash. I am an American citizen in Houston, Texas, by the means of Los Angeles, California. Mm-hmm. I have so many experiences. So a hobby of mine for the longest time has been ghost hunting. So I'm one of those crazy people that when other people come screaming and running out of a haunted location, I'm like, let's go in, let's do it.
That stereotypical white person, like, there they go, running into the danger.
Yes, exactly. I'm the one that you're screaming at the TV, don't go down the hallway.
Yeah.
But it comes from a childhood of having experiences and not really understanding or being able to explain what's happened to me throughout my life. Mm-hmm. And a little bit of a sensitivity, I would say, to these kind of energies and just weird occurrences.
Weird shit.
Yes, 100%. And when stuff happens to you that you can't really explain, that sometimes is scary, you can either, you know, hide under the covers and be afraid of it, or get curious and try and figure out what the heck it is.
Right. So you mentioned earlier, before we officially got started, you consider yourself an empath.
I do.
Explain that a little bit.
Yeah. So there's different types of clairvoyant, or you would call it clairvoyancies, clairsentient. There's just different clairs. People have sensitivities to the paranormal in different ways. You can have sensitivity by hearing spirits. You can have sensitivity by seeing spirits. Some people just have the cognition where you know things before you should. You sense things about people. I have a little bit more of that part of the empath. So I can feel energies. I can feel living energies and deceased energies. I am able to understand when there's more energy to a room than there should be. Hmm. I can also know things about people. I can not necessarily like see the future, but get a sense of what's happening in a person's life before they even tell me. Mm-hmm. People are very inclined to open up to me very quickly and tell me things that you normally wouldn't tell a stranger. It's just a sharing of energies, really, is what an empath does, is they're able to really not only sympathize with someone, but really feel what they're going through, or feel not only what they're going through, but the energy that's left over when someone passes on.
Mm-hmm. Would that be, because I know in like movies and TV shows and whatnot, when something of this sort of nature is spoken about or presented, it's also a bit hereditary. Is that something you think you've got from parents?
Yes, I do. I do believe my mom and my grandmother on my mother's side are both fairly sensitive as well. My mom is a little bit more on the shying away from it. She's a little scared of some of the things that have happened to her, which is understandable. And so she tries to kind of ignore it. I tend to find that sometimes when you try and push things like that down and ignore it, it comes out in other ways. You know, sometimes people physically get ill, almost like anxiety.
Right.
You try and push down your feelings, it's going to come out in physical manifestation. So sometimes if you try and ignore these gifts, and I think personally that they're gifts that you get, you can have headaches or you can feel sick because you're not really being true to who you are. And So yes, I do think I inherit it from my mom's side. I also think that some people are just born with a little bit more. I think I was trying to tell you, my favorite analogy I use on it is everyone can play piano, but not everybody's Mozart. So right. I think everybody has a little bit of sixth sense. Everybody. But some people just have that to the extreme naturally. And I feel like those are the people that really attract more of these types of weird shit phenomenon moments.
Yeah. Have you seen, I'm sure you have, if this is kind of a big part of your life, apparently, Insidious,
yes,
the movie.
I have.
Like when you mentioned about your mother, I would imagine so. Like one,
no,
I love.
So Insidious is not my favorite.
I love it though. I love that movie. One, I love it because the dude looks so cool in the first one. You know, little demon like Darth Maul like figure. That's really and this That was awesome. I love that.
That was such a good impression.
Oh, trust me, I'm good at that now. I love that fucking movie.
Oh my god. Okay, so that is a really cool idea.
Right, but like
I have a problem with horror though, because horror just makes me laugh because I've been through things in like real life, and it's sometimes it's so hokey.
they got to make it entertaining.
Yeah,
but I thought about it when you mentioned your mother basically burying that part of her, because if you remember in the first one, the father, they had to let him know that he had this type of power, or energy, whatever. When he was younger, but he buried it because, grew up, whatever, and didn't want to deal with it no more. So he had to face that. So it made me think of that movie. I love that movie, though. So you mentioned it's sort of like it is. You believe it is a hereditary thing, at least for you. So what is one of your earliest experiences that you can remember?
So the earliest experience that I can remember didn't happen to me until I was 11.
Okay.
I was living with my dad at the time. My parents were divorced and living in two separate states. And there was a middle school dance. I spent most every afternoon, about 2-3 hours alone at the house. We had an apartment, so I would just take the bus or get a ride from one of the other students.
Right.
And then it would be home until my dad came home. Well, that day I was going to go home, take a shower, get ready for the dance, and then someone was going to pick me up. The first thing that happened, I walked in the door, shut the door, and I had a cat at the time that was just staring at me as I walk in the door, like haunches raised, ears back, like hissing. And I'm like, what is going on, right? And I look ahead of me, and at the wall, I can see my shadow and the cat's shadow, and then another shadow move across the wall. And I'm like, I'm 11 years old. I watch a lot of scary movies.
Right?
I'm imagining things. I have to be, right? We have to explain away these things. So I'm like, just in case I'm freaked out, I'm going to lock the bathroom door. I'm home alone. Who cares? I'm going to lock the bathroom door.
Yeah.
I get in the shower. And I start to notice this like black shape on the outside of the curtain. Uh-huh. You know, you can tell when someone is in the bathroom with you. Usually you can kind of see their form through the shower curtain. And I think my dad must have come home early. He's trying to scare me.
Like, yeah.
Of all days, what a jerk, right?
Right.
And then I start to notice that I am feeling very, very wrong. Very wrong. Sad, depressed, like the entire world is crumbling around me, like just the most desperate, awful feeling. And it's like the water in the shower is getting colder and colder, and I'm keep turning it up, and I see this figure, and it looks like it's not even facing me, it's facing the wall, and it's just the black form outside of the curtain. It's not like I can actually see a person, it's just the form.
Yeah.
It looks like it's slowly starting to churn, like it's looking at the shower, and I can't do anything at all. Like, yeah. I'm just frozen to the spot. And once it gets to where it looks like it's really looking at me in the shower, it flies at the wall so fast that the shower curtain blows back a little and is gone. Immediately after that, the water doesn't feel cold anymore.
Yeah.
I don't feel sad. I mean, I'm scared to death, but I don't feel sad or like the world's ending anymore. And, you know, I got out of the shower really quick. The door to the bathroom was still locked. My dad wasn't home. I got dressed and I waited outside for the next hour until someone picked me up, because I was like, I can't do it. At 11, I was like, this is the most evil thing I think I've ever encountered. Even to this day, it's the most evil thing. It just felt wrong. It just felt really wrong. And I used to tell people, you know, living in an apartment, you never know what energy is there. You never know what's happened really in that apartment or apartments around it. Mm-hmm. You know, what the apartment little duplex that I grew up in when I was very little, a man had killed himself and his girlfriend in the bedroom that I slept in when I was a baby. You know, I just think that you never know what could be there. I know my mom has lots of memories of me like doing other things, talking to the wall, and like when I was younger than that. I don't remember these things.
That one, I can see like you're getting a little emotional just there, bringing it up.
No,
like your voice cracked a little bit at times. I was like, oh shit.
The worst experience probably I've ever had.
So thankfully I don't have anything like that, and I don't think my wife has anything of that level. But when you mentioned you opened your door and your cat was looking at you weird.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was asleep. My wife just woke up, so hopefully she'll correct me if I'm wrong. But it was earlier this year, sometime this year. She was downstairs playing a game or watching TV or something. And I think I was asleep. And we have cats here as well. Well, occasionally I have been known to like, you know, it's my wife, I'm gonna scare her from time to time, you know, scare my kid from, it's what you do, you know.
I approve.
But yeah. And from there, she told me that the cat looked up at the balcony where our bedroom is. So she looked up, saw nothing there. I wasn't there. I think she called for me or something. Hold on, let me get here real quick. Hey sweetie, come here for a second. She told me something. Babe! I have to cut some of this out to narrow it down a bit.
That's okay.
But this is a good one.
I do that all the time.
She might be getting ready. She got to go to work tonight. But she was talking. What I remember is it freaked her out. Like, it really freaked her out. Because it's like you say, you know, cats, animals know stuff that we don't. I believe that. Like, I haven't seen it. I've witnessed or been around some weird shit. But I definitely am one, like, animals know shit that we don't. You know, they're able to see something that we don't have the ability to see. Whether it be ghosts or whatever you want to call it. But it was something like that. It was up on the balcony. She thought it was me, but it wasn't me because I was asleep. And to the point, if I remember, she came and woke me up and got in bed because she was scared. I do remember that much, and it freaked her out that much. But there have been other times. I know when we got together, she would talk about ghost experiences or creepy things happening at her when she was younger as well. I don't remember any of those.
So she's more sensitive also.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think she has one connected to her. I do. Like, not a bad one, but I never really experienced anything till me and her got together. So I believe she brought it with her to this house. Of course, my house is from the 70s, I think. So for all I know, something could have happened here at one point too.
Were you a skeptic before?
I wouldn't necessarily say I was a skeptic, because I'm always interested. Like, this stuff's cool to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
I've never experienced anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've becoming more and more like, okay, maybe so. But thankfully, I think if we do have one, he's not a bad ghost or spirit, whatever it is. But I do know I had an episode probably around the summertime with some friends of mine from Ireland, and we were telling ghost stories. And as I was telling mine, I heard something fall downstairs, right? And I didn't know it till after I got done. I went downstairs and talking with the wife, and she said it was a, we have a picture down there with mine and her name, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Jamie Goodman or whatever it is. And it fell as I was talking about the ghost.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And like, it's never falling since. It hasn't fallen down since. It never fell before. But it, just that one time when I happened to be talking about a ghost, it decided to fall.
One of my theories is, I think the more attention you bring to it, the more things start to happen. You can imagine as I'm recording like all these paranormal stories, I'm like sitting in my, I record in like my little tiny office space, and I'm like looking over my shoulder like,
oh yeah, every little noise, like, oh,
I
shit,
know
what that
it's gonna make things happen.
Yeah, and I know my son, and this is really the only one that's bothered me, because like, mess with me and my wife, you know, we're adults, we can, whatever, it is what it is. You mess with my boy, that's a different story, right? That's when it gets a little personal. But
oh yeah, Papa Bear comes out.
Exactly. It was a school night, and he swore, when I woke him up for school that morning at like 5 something in the morning, he swore I woke him up at 2 in the morning. I was in his room. Nope. Someone turned his light on. His nightlight was off. He swears it was me. He swears he heard me as well.
I think no the fuck not.
No the fuck not indeed.
Yeah, no.
No the fuck. Oh, I just remember the best, probably one of the best, the first ones me and my wife had. I don't even think we were engaged at the time. We were just still dating, but she was staying with me. We were in bed up here, and it was nighttime. We were watching a movie or something. Everybody else in the house was asleep. And to get to our window of our bedroom, we live on the second floor of the house, right? Or our bedrooms. So you can't really just be outside my window. You have to have a ladder at least to be outside my window. But we heard a very distinct, hey, like a very, very, like a child saying, hey. And both of us heard it, looked at each other and was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I would say.
And I went downstairs. My son was dead asleep. My mother was asleep. It was just us. Just us awake in the house, but a very distinct,
hey,
that me and her both heard.
That's pretty creepy.
Yeah.
You would think that I would be much braver because I willingly sit in dark rooms for hours at a time. But when some things happen, it's more, I think, the feeling behind it.
Right.
If it feels creepy, then it's going to affect me a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've been to old hotels and hospitals and all kinds of places that I could sit there in a room by myself for an hour or 2 hours. No problem.
She sees ghosts.
She sees them.
Well, I don't know if she sees them, but she's had plenty. I'll try and get, maybe if we could do like a part two one day and like have her on.
Yes.
I would
love that.
One, she's probably about the same as you, loving those ghost hunter shows and ghost this and true crime. Ugh, that's all she If I disappear, she killed me. Everyone hears this. If I disappear, my wife killed me.
Yeah.
I'm buried somewhere.
I know, I'm the expert now. I'm watching the true crime shows going, oh, you stupid, you left the fingerprints on the door handle. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly. Those shows are like creating master murderers for the future. They're just going to get away with everything. Yeah.
My fiance knows that he's in trouble. Like, if he ever tries, I'm just going to come back and haunt his ass. So
that too. Yeah. That was your earliest that you remember. What's your latest one?
I have just little things that happen all the time.
Right.
But I would say probably the biggest latest one that I've had is with a group called Haunted Rooms America. Mm-hmm. I was working a few times as a staff volunteer. And it is a group where you pay to go to a haunted location. Sometimes it's an overnight, sometimes it's just a few hours. And I was going on my first trip with them as an investigator. And the way that they run their groups is they split up groups. Mm-hmm. They have a large number of people that come. We went to Battleship Texas, so there were over 100 people there that night. And they split them up into much smaller groups, and they had different stations throughout the ship. And at each station was one of us, you know, staff investigators that were teaching them different parts of investigation. And I was in the engine room.
Okay.
And I had the task of teaching people how to use K2 meters for the evening. And the engine room is not the lowest part of the ship. I think the lowest part was actually the officer's barracks in the very front, but it's one of the lower parts of the ship.
Right.
And it's a little creepy, you know, steep staircases the catwalks and
very cramped in ships.
Very cramped, yep. Yes. And so I'm used to doing an investigation where I move with a group from place to place. Mm. And in this particular situation, it was me staying there waiting for groups to come to me. So there were many amounts of time where I'm by myself. Which this is not a bad thing at all. This is actually an incredible story. I'm so excited it happened. I had a group that came and I was teaching them how to use a K2 meter, which is a electromagnetic field meter. It measures inconsistencies in electromagnetic frequency. And the idea is that spirits are basically just made up of a bunch of energy, and right. that they can manipulate this energy. So seeing a K2 meter reading of a 1 to a 2 could be pretty normal, but right. all of a sudden you get a spike to a 5. Well, that's not normal. And they think that if you're in a haunted location, that kind of thing happens. It's an indicator there might be spirit present. And these meters usually have, they have digital readout meters, but I prefer the old fashioned with the lights at the top.
Right.
Super cheap to order off of Amazon and super effective. They use them as a communication tool. It goes from green to red. There's yellow lights in the middle.
Right.
And so the general consensus is if it goes to a yellow, it's maybe or a yes. A red is like an absolute yes, and a green yeah. is a no response or an actual no. So you ask yes or no questions to try and right. get the meter to light up. So I was demonstrating this. We were down in the, and I can't remember ship terminology. It was the right side. I think that's port side of the engine room. And they had like this little table set up under these machines. So I had the K2 meter on this table. We were asking some questions, and there was a little boy in this group that was just a conductor, right? The other groups before he came down, I didn't get a whole lot of hits on the K2 meter. Mm-hmm. Once that little boy was down there, man, that thing was going off. We could ask any questions we wanted, and that thing was going straight to red. Like, he was giving us answers, and we determined that it was a 19-year-old soldier that had worked in the engine room during World War II. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were getting all kinds of information. And the way that you would do this basically is you do ask kind of leading questions because you want to get a yes or no, right?
Right.
You know, were you here during World War II? Well, right. then it goes to red, yes. Okay, were you a soldier, right? So you do ask these kind of questions to kind of get to the bottom of it.
Right.
And I told them that I also had brought along my mag light, and that's my other favorite form of communication when you're doing EVP work. Electric voice phenomenon work. You can bring along a little screw top mag light, and you screw it off to where it's just barely off, so it would be easy to twist it back on. Mm-hmm. And we ask for them to turn the flashlight on for a yes and turn the flashlight off for a no. Mm-hmm. And the group had decided that they wanted to see how that worked. So I set it next to the K2 meter, and then started asking questions. The light was coming on, and it had kind of fizzled out, and I wanted to know if someone was still there. We were still getting responses on the K2 meter, and so someone was like, well, it's just the battery heating up and turning back off again. I mean, that's not really, it's not real. And I was like, okay, well, then, you know, if you can turn this flashlight, turn it. for a yes rather than just turn it on. The flashlight rolled all the way to the end of the table. And the person like that had been kind of skeptic was like, yeah. What?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, it's got to be like the fans that are blowing down here. And so we said, okay, can you roll it back the other way? It rolled back the other direction. And I was like, okay, where's your fan theory now? And that was probably like the most definitive I'd ever, like it rolled all the way across the table and then all the way back. And we were hitting the table and kicking the table and that flashlight wasn't moving. Like no one had nudged, like we were trying to debunk it, but it was great. The funny thing is that it's more terrifying to be exposed to the real things on an investigation than actual ghosts, right? You can come downstairs. There was a bar. One of my mentors was a investigation lead, and she had gone to a bar where they had like an Elvis cutout at the bottom of the stairs. More investigators got scared coming down the stairs seeing that than actually sitting in the dark room trying to talk to spirit, you know, because you don't expect it. So this is my first investigation with this group, and I'm in between. I'm like on a break waiting for the next group to come, and this is just after I'd had this experience. So even though it was a pleasant experience, I know I'm all alone at the bottom of a ship with a ghost that is active and responsive, right? So I'm waiting at the top of these.
Uh-oh. What happened? Hello?
Stairs, because I'd... Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're back. You're back.
Okay.
Whew. Okay.
Don't scare me.
See, we're talking about fucking ghosts, man. They fucking with
exactly
the shit.
That's exactly what it is. That is exactly what it is. Assholes. I took a group down on the left side, and I would walk them around the stairs and the catwalk on that side, and then walk to the other side of the engine room and bring them back up a steep staircase. It was just easier to take them down on the left side. The stairs weren't as steep, and there were a few landings, but going back up is a very steep staircase, so I would rather them go up that way.
Right.
So I'm like standing right in the middle of these two staircases, keep checking over my shoulder because I know something's there and I can feel it and I've been interacting with it, and I'm just looking out this porthole door basically waiting for the next group, like praying that they come early because I'm freaked out a little.
Right.
And one of the other investigators comes up right behind me, puts her hands on my shoulder and goes, hey. When I turn
you
around,
shit yourself, basically.
I cried. I literally lost my, I cried.
Right,
And she was like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scare you that bad. And I was like, no, you have no idea. Like, I'm crying because I'm happy that you are a human.
That you're real.
And that you didn't, you know, I'm crying because I'm so relieved that I just didn't get touched by a gut. But she scared the shit out of me. And she's like, oh man, I'm so, like, she said that she walked behind me several times. Like, she kept contemplating. She's like, she's the new girl. Oh, but this is just so good. I have to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. It was, yeah.
Have
hazing.
You?
Hazing.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. I know. I would have to do it. Have you ever been outside of the country?
I have been outside of the country on, like, fun travel.
Okay.
But never to investigate.
Okay. Do you plan on it?
I would love to.
It'd be awesome, right?
I would love to. I actually, for season two, I've been looking for a co-host, and I believe I may have found one.
There you go.
And he actually lives in Norway. So I'm hoping at some point that I can get over there, and then maybe even from there we could get over to the UK, continental.
This is where we're going, trust me.
Yes, and start doing some of that. But so far, just most of southern United States and western United States kind of investigations.
Well, I asked because I've spoken with an individual from Norway. And I've spoken with plenty from over there in London and, well, and around the world, really. The one that sticks with me is I have a friend over in Cornwall in the UK, which is where they think King Arthur's castle is, actually. You got Merlin's cave over there. Yeah, it's a gorgeous place. Gorgeous place. If you just Google Cornwall, UK, oh, it's stunning. But So for one, you know, here in America, our history isn't that old. You know, it's like a few hundred years. Over there, it's thousands of years old. You know, like battles and wars and all that medieval shit. That's in some of those buildings still, right? So I was speaking with my friend Casey. Shout out to Casey from Cornwall. Him and his family used to be pretty prominent back in the day when he was growing up. So they lived in an old sheriff's house from like 18 or 1700s. I don't remember the year exactly. But they lived in this house. And the history of this house is that sheriff used to kill people in the basement. So, and is that whole thing's documented, apparently. The whole
is that like infection on the Zillow account? Like, comes with right? Basement full of dead. Like,
could be. I don't know. But so this dude back in the day would kill people. He was the sheriff of the town back then. He would kill people in the basement. And so when his family ended up getting the house, and he grew up in it, him, his little brother Huey, and I think his older sister, well, and his older brother as well. But the one story that he used to tell is his sister was taking a shower, right? So his sister was in the shower, and her room was right next to the shower. So while she's taking a shower, she hears somebody in her room just like tearing it up, right? So she's thinking, she's got three brothers. It's gotta be one of the brothers, right? That's what we do, you know, siblings. You fuck around with your brother's sisters. So
100%.
Exactly. So she gets out of the shower, goes through her room. It's a fucking mess. And she's pissed off. She's yelling, Casey, Huey, blah, 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 blah. She's yelling at everybody. She goes to the kitchen. Her mother's in the kitchen. Mom, you know, so-and-so mess up my room, blah, 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 blah. Sweetie, they're in town with Dad. Nope, it's just me and you here.
Oh, my God.
Her room apparently was a fucking mess. And she heard it happening as she was in the shower. Not only that.
At that time?
Teens, young teens. That's all I remember.
So I had a guest on, and he was explaining to me that he's heard a lot of poltergeist activity tends to get tied to teenage girls. Something about their energy and their angst is what causes poltergeist to attach to them. So that's another case.
Could be, yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, an additional story he used to tell is when they were little, they would hear screams at night coming from down in the basement. To the point, like, the family would huddle together in one room as waiting for the screams to go away. One of the other stories he told is there was this one room in that house. It was more of like a sunroom, right? So it was mainly glass, everything, I guess, where they used to keep vegetables and like a little garden back in the day, but it was all enclosed as part of the house. And there was like a doorway to go in and out of it. And no matter what time of year, if you stood there, it was like 30 something degrees. It was always super cold. Even in the dead of summer, if you stood in this one spot, it was cold all year round. Yeah. But that's what I would, even though I'm not like you to where like, hell yeah, let's go ghost hunting. Yeah. I'm not like that. But I still would love, because I think I'm more of those. I'm skeptical, but I'm also open, right? Because again, I've seen shit that I don't fucking understand that's happened around since me and my wife got together, right?
Yeah.
But because I know there are numerous people that, just like yourself, can say that they feel something's off about a room, right? And if you feel something's off in like your apartment growing up that's a few decades old, maybe, what the hell could you feel in a medieval castle that's thousands of fucking years old?
Yes. So right? That intrigues me, but also terrifies me. Because sometimes it's very overwhelming. And empath isn't just that kind of like creepy tingly feeling, right?
Right.
You also, you know, if I've been to a few funerals for like my mom's coworkers, people I'm not really close to. and I'll be sitting there and just feel the collective emotion and just bawl my eyes out for someone I don't know, because right. it's just an overwhelming feeling.
Yeah.
So especially with some of those places that have had, you know, torture or sickness, or some of the royal family and all the drama that they had, you know, queens losing babies, and just so much collection of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling it would be extremely difficult and overwhelming for me.
But fun. But fun.
Definitely fun. Definitely fun. I'm never going to rule that out.
I'm about to say, you can't just like cut it out. Just,
No. The
like,
one
I
thing
get
they...
it, yeah, but... still got to experience something like that.
Oh, yes, I would. I would.
Hell yeah.
One thing that my mom doesn't shy away from is she kind of lets me know when she's feeling things.
Yeah.
And so we like to go antiquing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep.
But it's pretty typical for us to go to an antique store and for there to be particular parts of an antique store that just feel... I mean, something. Usually... it hits you when you walk in the door that something's there.
Right.
But as you get closer to whatever it is, it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. Mm. And that's her explanation, is it's heavy. So that's the term we use to each other when right. we're, you know, going through. We were just in Fredericksburg, Texas, not too long ago. And we walked past this old hospital and she's like, I can't stand here. Yeah. It's too heavy. I need to walk.
Right.
The same thing happens like in antique stores, and so that's our kind of, they're called body hits, but
right.
this is how we clue into each other that, hey, something's here.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll happen all the time, especially in those kind of places. Certain objects, just for some reason, whatever it is. There was an antique store, it's one of our favorites, and there was a Raggedy Ann doll there once. This was maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Raggedy Ann doll had no eye, like one of the eyes was missing. It was just an empty screw hole. It was old, well loved, you could tell.
Right.
And you know, Annabelle, the yep. doll, doesn't look like a dummy. She's actually a Raggedy Ann doll. So I had made a comment in passing. But the closer you get to this doll, just the heavier the energy was. Very, very heavy. And I was like, it wants to be picked up. I'm going to pick it up. My mom's like, don't even touch it. And I was like, no, I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to pick it up. And she was like, why? Like, you don't even like dolls. I was like, I'm going to pick it up. I don't know.
Right.
It was like, it zapped me. Like the, like when you're walking in socks and carpet and then touch a doorknob, it zapped me. I was like, what the heck? And she took a picture because she was like, I can't believe you were brave enough to even like go near that thing, let alone touch it. I wanted to go back and buy it because for some reason I was drawn to it. But thankfully it wasn't there when I went back. That's how you get haunted, right?
It's in your closet right now. You know that, right?
Right? Do you want to get possessed? Because that's how you get possessed.
Exactly.
It's
I love a good Archer reference.
It's just the energy. I don't know, but I do like the history of things too. So I think going to a place that has that much rich history, it's the cream on top.
It has to be, yeah. Because again, thousands of years of war, plague, you know, a whole bunch of shit that we read about and we know about, but for those that can feel it.
Our history, like you said, is not very old.
Yeah, it's not at all.
We're a young country, but one of the cooler places I've been to is Tombstone. Because I love the Old West, cowboys and all that stuff.
You can get away with anything back then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Birdcage Theater is a good one to go to if you're looking for an overnight type of investigation.
Nope.
You're like, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'll just watch it on TV.
Exactly. Watch it. That's fine with me. Not doing that. Nope.
Not everything is negative, though, right? Not everything is scary.
Right.
I was sharing a story about my aunt, Honey. She's my great aunt. And when I was very little, she was very important to me. Mm. And she passed away when I was about, I don't want to say 9 or 10. My grandparents had a doll of hers, a porcelain doll. that had like a little key crank in the back. And when you cranked it up, it would play Frank Sinatra's My Way, which is just her, right?
She's
Catherine was her real name, Italian woman. We just called her Honey. But she's very, you know, set in her ways and a tour de force, I guess, of her own.
Right.
So it was just very fitting. And I found the doll. We were visiting my grandparents when I was maybe 12 or 13. Saw the doll. I was getting ready to take a shower. I was letting the shower water warm up. They had a bathroom that was like a separate ensuite from the tub and the toilet. And so you walk in and there's like a double sink. And then at the very end of that was the doorway to walk into where the tub and everything is. And they had a glass casing. So I'm looking at this doll, I crank it up, I'm listening to the music, thinking about my Aunt Honey and how much I miss her. I walk back into the bathroom and I look at the shower and the light goes out, first of all, in the bathroom. Great timing.
Right.
And I see a reflection in the in the glass of the shower. Of course, I ran out to my dad. I was like, Dad, oh my God, there's a ghost. And he's like, no, you're imagining things. You're a kid, whatever. But I swear to you, the light went out and I saw her image in the shower. And I thought, okay, that must be her just like, you know, I get it. You miss me. Here's the light.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's comforting.
Right.
It's sweet.
Yeah.
In a way.
No, yeah. I know. The only thing that I think I've ever felt is I know not long after my grandmother passed, I'm huge grandma's boy. Huge grandma's boy. So when she passed, took me a while to get back to normal, right? Because, like, it was my, she passed in 2011, so a fair amount of time ago, but still something I don't like to talk about, even like I'm not 100% over that.
I understand.
Yeah. But there was, I don't remember, I don't know if I'm like subconsciously blocking it because I don't like to speak of anything to do with her, mainly because, yeah, getting out over that. But I do know there was one time I was like feeling really, really down, like super down for whatever reason. And I just remember like that. You know, like something pressed, and yeah, like everything kind of felt better. And
so you felt like her hand on your shoulder.
Yeah. And like everything got better.
Yeah.
After that, hell, I don't even think I've ever told that story. I don't like bringing her up, so I gotta swap out of that real quick. All right, let's go back into some ghost shit. So yeah, you know,
you know, I tell people all the time too, because they try and explain things away or they think they're going to be seen as crazy or irrational. If you think it's a sign or you think it's something for you, it probably is.
Right. I get that way with deja vu. Is deja vu a thing that you feel you get more as an empath, or is that like, are they not connected in your view?
Sometimes I think they are, and sometimes I think they're not, because a lot of people get deja vu.
Right.
I do think that there's something interesting about deja vu. I'm not going to just say that it's, some people have explained it away as your brain is not processing something correctly. Mm-hmm. People have tried to explain it away, but I definitely think that there's something more paranormal about it.
Okay.
I do get deja vu a lot. You know what I find is very interesting is I have vivid dreams about situations or places before I am in that situation or have been to that place. And then I'll see it and go, oh, I dreamt about that like a week ago. That's weird.
The reason I asked is I know when during the beginning of this, when we started, you were explaining empath and how some of the gifts that you feel you have, you wouldn't necessarily say like you see the future per se, right?
Right.
The reason I bring up deja vu and wondered if you feel they were connected, because there have been times I've had deja vu so strong. It's happened twice, and I've told the wife's been near me. I know we were in the car at one point when it happened, and I would point, something's about to happen here. Like, I could point it out before that shit was about to happen, and she's like, the fuck is wrong with you? I was like, dude, that's deja vu, man. I don't know what to tell you. Like, that was two times it's happened in front of her when I've been able to single out what was about to happen, and it's fucking weird.
And you haven't, and you don't usually experience other kinds of strange phenomena, right? You said nothing's really happened since before you got with your wife.
Yeah, for the most part, like growing up, you could probably label me as, like, again, very skeptical, and one of those, if I don't see it and if I can't touch it, it can't be real. You know, one of those, like, very logical, straight-minded, like, nah, that doesn't make any sense. But I'd say more and more since the longer me and her have gotten together, because I don't remember having strong deja vu like that until we were together.
Because she doesn't to it.
She doesn't necessarily have to be near me, but I know the times that I've had it when I'm like, oh shit, this is about to happen over here, or someone's about to give me a call, whatever the case is, it's been while we've been together in some form. I will say that much.
That's crazy. So, I think you're developing more because you're more open to it.
I would say, because, yeah, I was definitely that one before. Because I had a girlfriend growing up, and when we were, you know, dating and whatnot, she told me she was probably similar to you. Like, she could sense things. She could see things or whatnot. Well, growing up, we lived, like, to get to my house, you have to pass a cemetery. Like, there's my house, there's a fence, and then there's a cemetery that goes back, like, to the 1600s. Like, some of the headstones are super fucking old.
Wow.
And it's a slave cemetery. I live in South Carolina, so there are slaves buried in that cemetery, right?
Heavy.
So a lot of history. Well, this is probably when I started kind of being a skeptic. When she first came to the house, I had to ask, did you see anything? Can you sense anything? She said no. So I was like, nah, fake as shit, you know?
You know, but the cemeteries, I get a little iffy about those, because cemeteries, in my opinion, are for the living. They're not for the dead.
Right.
Would you really want to hang out by a piece of rock waiting for someone to come visit you? Like, you wouldn't be
there sense.
When you
that
die. I want to haunt the shit out of, like, Disneyland or something. Right? Like, I don't want to be next to my headstone, hoping that someone comes by to be sad that I'm gone. You know, this is not a place I want to be. So most of the time, I find cemeteries actually very peaceful and very quiet and serene, and that there's really not a whole lot of activity there, because why would there be? It's not for them. It's for us who are left behind, that feels like some kind of connection for us. Now, there are exceptions to that rule, obviously. Sometimes you do get certain cemeteries that have a reputation or have a feeling, or sometimes you do find a spirit that's there for some reason. I find that to be less the case than finding nothing in a cemetery. It's very rare. And some of those stories, you know, like the statues that cry and things like that, I don't think that those are necessarily human energy either. I don't think that you're really going to find a whole lot of people, spirits, and your loved ones really hanging out in those kind of places. So maybe you were walking by the cemetery, something like that, though, where there is a lot of pain and a lot of history, I would think that you would pick up on maybe a little something. I've had times before where I've been to cemeteries and been able to get flashlight conversations, and there's something there.
Right.
But maybe she wasn't a fake. Maybe she was telling the truth.
I don't know.
Defending your girlfriend from long years past here.
Yeah, I don't know, but I think that's probably, because that was the first time I remember definitely knowing somebody who said they were, you know, one of those that could see or sense or whatever. And so I was like, bullshit.
Sometimes being a skeptic gets you into trouble.
How so?
I was just moved back in with my dad. I bounced back and forth. When I was a teenager, I decided I wanted to live with my mom for a little while, and then I moved back in with my dad. So I'm there one night by myself. They go and see, I think it was Jeff Dunham, I think is who they went to go see. And I'm sitting there home alone, sitting in the living room. I have the light that they had in there was one of those ones that you can push down and you can kind of dim it out a little bit.
Okay.
So I would like to dim it down to like coffee house lighting.
Yeah.
I'm a creature of the dark. Obviously you can see behind me, it's all black.
Right.
I'm a vampire. I like to sit in dimly lit rooms. So I'm sitting there doing a little writing. I call my friend and tell her, hey, this light is, because the light started flickering a lot. And I'm like, this light is going crazy. And I just have a feeling that something's here. So talk to me for a minute.
Right.
I'm a little nervous. And as we're talking, you know, the light keeps doing its thing. I turn it all the way on. I turn it all the way off. I turn it off. I grabbed a towel and messed with the light bulb to see if it was screwed in all the way.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Is it dying? No. Like, it's just going off and on. And I said, you need to, like, quit messing with the light because I have this idea that you should be direct with spirit. That, you know, cowering from it doesn't help. So be direct. So I'm like, hey, this is my house. Stop touching my light. I need that light.
Right.
The light goes completely off. I have to get up and turn it back on. And I said, I think my friend was not paying, I thought she was not paying attention or something. And I was like, hey, I'm talking to you. And she's like, whoa, did you hear that? And I was like, what? She's like, I'm talking to you. I said, yes, that's exactly what I just said to you because you're blowing me off. She's like, no, I heard that. But then I heard something else go, I'm talking to you. And I was like, nope. I'm done with this conversation. Click. So my dad and my stepmom get home and I'm telling them about this and they're laughing it up and just making fun of me. And we hear this really loud crash from their bedroom. And they look at me and they look at their bedroom and they're like, what? And they go in and I guess they had like stacked boxes and a vacuum cleaner in there and all of it had fallen over. And I was like, yeah, keep making fun of me. Like, have a good night.
Right.
Keep making fun of me and have a good night, you know? Sometimes.
I'm definitely not as much of a skeptic anymore as I used to be. Because, again, you growing up, you love watching that, like, Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, those type of shows. But I would think with any skeptic, and I think any skeptic, anyone who's considers himself a skeptic, to consider yourself a skeptic, you have to be open to, if you have something happen to you, like, shit, all right, you have to be open-minded to be a skeptic. You can't just shut everything down. Like, there's a logical reason for everything. I used to be that guy. There's not
and
always
on the opposite,
that.
On the opposite end of the spectrum, I think all believers should have a healthy sense of skepticism.
Very true. Oh,
100%. Anything that happens, I want there to be, well, could it have been this or could it have been that? Or
you have to.
If I'm standing in a room of people and we're asking specific questions and the flashlight comes on when I'm asking a specific question and an entire room of people see that, then I'm like, okay, I don't feel so crazy.
Right.
But if something happens to me when I'm home alone, I'm like, are there any doors open? Are there any windows open? Do the air conditioner just kick on? Like,
exactly.
Am I imagining things? You know, you have to have that healthy sense of, am I just crazy? And I know I am, but I mean, am I crazy for this reason?
Yeah. Yeah, because I think one of the first ones we had in this house, me and my wife were in the room. The lights were off in the dining room. And so I have a pretty open dining room. So I have a ceiling fan with a light, but you can't even, like, if I ever have to change one of these bulbs, I gotta get a ladder to get up to it and change one of these bulbs, right? But on the wall, I also have not the slow dimming switch. I have the little turn knob dimming switch, right? Where you turn it to, you can dim it, or you can just press it to turn it on and off all the way. Well, one, we never turn on that light rarely ever, like unless it's after dark and we're still up and like have friends over. It's the only time that light ever comes on. So me and my wife were in the bedroom. No one was in the living room. I don't even think my son was with me. I think he was with his mother at the time. And my mom was in her room. Mm-hmm. And I just remember walking by the bedroom door and I saw the light was on in the living room. I was like, babe, do you turn on? Like, I thought she was downstairs at the time. Did you turn on the living room light? She hollers at me from the bathroom. No, sweetie, I'm up here. What the fuck? Go down to the banister and look down, yell at my mom. Mom, you know, did you turn on the light? No, I haven't even been in the living room. How the fuck did this light turn on?
Oh my God.
And I remember that's one of the earliest ones I remember. And probably the most recent one is we were all in the house. We were doing laundry, right? And I remember my mom was in her room. My son was playing in his room. Me and the wife were in the living room. And we were just walking around, you know, normal, everyday, yada yada life, right? And I don't remember who noticed, but someone noticed, that the dryer door was open. None of us, apparently, again, I wasn't really privy to this happening. I just remember hearing the commotion about it. Me getting asked if I opened the dryer door, I'm saying no. My mom, no one opened the dryer door, but the dryer door was open. I don't know if that's anything. But I know everyone in the house denied opening the dryer door. And I do remember saying, oh, it's just the ghost. He's just saying hello. You know, because, yeah, like you, at this point, I'm like, oh, you know, just don't break my pick.
It just is what it is. Yeah,
like he or she or it, whatever it is, hasn't, besides apparently freaking the fuck out of my wife that one night where she thought it was me or like fucking with my son. Besides those two moments, it's, you know, turning on a light here or there, dropping, you know, the picture while I'm talking about them, disconnecting our connection here earlier. I don't know if that was my ghost or your ghost. I don't know. Maybe they were trying to communicate, you know, they were devising plans. Who knows?
Maybe.
But at this point, yeah, anytime something happens, I was like, dude, stop
it. It's just a ghost. Yeah, it's just a ghost.
Leave us alone.
My mom's cat hates me, like hates me. When I walk in the door, she hisses at me, like just cannot stand me. If I look at her, she hisses at me. And my mom is always explaining to people, like just kind of waving her hand, like, yeah, it's all the ghosts that she brings around with her. The cat just doesn't like her ghosts. And I'm like, okay, mom, all right.
Yeah.
Cool. I guess that's a good theory. You know, we talked about she kind of shies away from it, but you can't really run away from it.
Right.
You can try. But it doesn't really work. When we first moved to Texas, it was about 6 years ago now, maybe even almost 7 years now. We all lived in a house together, a rent house, before my sister, you know, got old enough to go to college and I got on my feet to move out. We shared a 5-bedroom home, and the upstairs, there was just something nasty up there in my brother's room. Let me get a glass of water real quick.
That's fine.
So my brother never wanted to sleep in his room. He always wanted to sleep downstairs on the couch. Like, notoriously would get in trouble for coming downstairs and sleeping on the couch all the time.
Right.
And I kept telling my mom, I was like, there's something in his room. Like, he had talked to me briefly about the lady in the closet, but then didn't want to talk to me about it anymore. And I was like, no, there's definitely something in your closet.
Yep.
His room was on the side of the house that had like the narrow side lawn right next to the house next door.
Right.
So just a narrow little lawn leading to the backyard. It's not like there's a big passage in there. But several times, for no reason, we would have birds like fly into his window, like kill themselves in his window. Yeah. Why are they flying down a side lawn and this way? Like, it's a weird trajectory for them to take.
Right.
You know, like flying into the back window or the front window, that makes more sense. You know, if something happened to them, they fall out of the sky. But to go down the side of the house and then turn into his bedroom
hard
window.
Hard enough to kill themselves.
Yeah, it didn't make sense to me. we would hear footsteps upstairs when all of us were downstairs, and I always got a bad feeling about it. But my mom at the time, my stepdad had just gotten a job here. I had gotten a job out of the house. My boyfriend at the time had gotten a job out of the house. The kids would be in school during the day. And she would say all the time she would hear the footstep upstairs. We wouldn't go up there unless we had to. Like, I would go up there to go to my room to go to sleep. But other right. than that, I didn't spend any time upstairs. There was like a great room up there where we had, we wanted it to be the playroom, but we brought like the TV and stuff downstairs. So we were like, F that, we're not staying up there. But nobody wanted to be upstairs. And she had multiple occasions. There was one time she went to bed a little early. And she felt like my stepdad had come into the bedroom and like come in front of her and was going to scare her. Like, she felt like someone was like right yeah. there. So she yeah. opens her eyes really quick and goes, "Don't try to scare me." Okay.
Nobody. Yeah.
But the creepiest one, she said, and she actually called me to come home from work. She said she was taking a nap on the couch. Like, she had heard the footsteps upstairs. That was pretty typical. You know, it was our agreement we weren't going to be in the house for that long, so just let the thing upstairs be the thing upstairs and right. leave it alone, it'll leave us alone, right?
Right.
Sure. Right. So she hears the footsteps walking around, she's going about her business, she takes a nap on the couch. Someone leans into her ear and goes, "Mom." So she wakes up and she's like, "Did my kids come home from school? Like, who's here? Yeah. Like, someone just called for me." And she said it did sound feminine, so she thought it was my sister, you yeah. know? And then she's like, "Well, maybe it's Ben," but no one's there. That yeah. thing came down the stairs to whisper "Mom" into her ear. Yeah, so she can try and deny that she has the abilities all she wants, but still finds her.
Yeah, that is a no.
Yeah, that was, no. That was probably the second worst house that I've lived in.
I just remembered another one of a friend. As soon, for some reason, during that whole story, it didn't hit me till you just said second worst house. So sorry, I know I cut you off,
but no, you're good.
Forget this.
You're good.
So I have another friend. Of course, I have a few of them. I'm a fairly likable guy.
If you do say so yourself.
Yes. So a friend of mine, Heather, she grew up in a few houses growing up, right? Well, they had this one that she swore up and down was haunted. To this day, she swears up and down is haunted. And if I want to try and get this one correct, because this one is really fucking freaky. But she moved out at some point, you know, the family moved out of the house. And after they moved out of the house, no one was living in that house. But she that was back, you remember back in the day when you actually remembered your home number? Back before cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's how old we are, people.
I had a rotary phone. I did.
That's how old we are.
If you got that number wrong, you had to start all over.
You young kids listening to this shit, like, they remember phone numbers? We had to.
Like, what's a rotary? Huh? Yeah.
So, she remembered her old home number. And when they moved out to their new house, they would get calls from the old home number. And before, it used to be like the realtor would be there, yada yada, nothing super crazy. But then after everything, like, they tried to sell it, no one was buying it. And after, if I remember correctly, she would get like calls like late at night.
Even and at when one it was point, empty.
Huh?
When it was empty.
Yes. And she picked up the phone one day, and all she heard was,
"Ew."
Yeah, it was one of those.
Oh, no. Yeah.
No one was living in that house. And she swore while living there, I don't remember any distinct stories about that house. I'm sure she has them. But the only story of that house is it calling her family after they had moved out. No one in the house. And all you hear is breathing on the other side.
Aww, it missed its family.
It wanted to kill them.
Right? Gross.
Living off of them, yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. The phone calls, the whispering in the ear, the creepy stuff. Like, why?
Yeah, the breath.
Can't you just be normal? Why can't you just be normal?
Yeah. Well, Ash, this has been fun. Yes. Hopefully, you said your season two is coming up with.
It's coming,
right?
Yes. Coming. Yes. So now that I have decided on a co-host,
okay,
we've been hashing out the details of what we want to do and what kind of topics we want to move forward with. So we're right. actually going to be set to start recording this weekend.
Okay.
I like to have a few episodes kind of lined up and already polished and edited before I release a season. So we're shooting for maybe the end of this month, possibly the beginning of next month. But yeah, season two of Burtonesque is coming.
All right. Well, everybody, check that out. All her links will be in the description. Season two is coming. We're going to hear some Norway and just UK stories, it sounds like, as well.
Yes, over there. A lot more of that, a lot more conspiracy mixed in. So yes. Everything under the sun that's creepy, strange, unusual,
right.
macabre. So we'll have some more serial killers, we'll have some more paranormal stories, and lots more cryptids, and a little bit of conspiracy sprinkled in.
And hopefully, an eventual episode of you guys over there in person.
Oh, I would love
touring some shit.
I would love that.
Right? Hell yeah. All right. Well, everybody, Ashley, thank you again. Floor is yours to say whatever you want. I mean, you've kind of just mentioned on the podcast thing, but anything else you want to say, floor is yours right now.
Oh, awesome. I really don't have anything else to say other than I really enjoyed this and I would love to do another episode like this.
Yes. I love doing this kind of stuff.
And I would love to have you as a guest on our podcast if you have some experiences you want to share when we're doing stories. So
I can bring that. I think it would be better if I have the wife involved because she's got
Absolutely.
A ton that I don't remember all of them. Like she has some that scared her like really bad as a child. Like I don't remember the story, but I remember her talking about being pretty damn scared about it.
I'm here for all of it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Thank you once again for coming on. I like doing different episodes every now and then. I've done my conspiracy episode, this was a ghost one. They're fun. It's fun sometimes to branch out and do something new. So thank you once again, Ashley, for coming on. Everyone, Burtonesque podcast season two is coming shortly. Until then though, you got season one to check out, right?
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
There's like 20 episodes.
Oh, shit. 20. All right.
Yeah. There's
better
a
get
lot
busy.
To listen to. There's
better
a lot
get
to
busy.
To.
You got 20 episodes to hold you through till season two drops. Everybody, thank you once again. Ashley, you take care of yourself.
Adios.
Bye-bye.